I have a message today that I do want to preach to you, and I don't know hardly how to start other than just hop right in there. So we're going to do that. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And hopefully we won't hold you as long as Brother Bartow did this morning. I started to put a bug in his ear. 45 minutes, they'll go out on you, buddy. But I enjoyed his preaching this morning, didn't you? Good man. Hey, he's a smart man too, wasn't he? Just been saved 8 years. I was surprised at that. Eight-year testimony. Man, that guy, he knew his book. He knew what he's talking about. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 25. Cursed be he that taketh a reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. Now, I have no intentions tonight of putting you folks back under the law, but I just want you to notice something in these verses of Scripture. Just before Moses went over into Canaan's land, or the children of Israel went over, just before they left to go into Canaan, God sent the word by Moses' mouth, and he said, there are some things that if you do, I will bless you for. And then he said, there are some things that if you do, you will carry the curse of God on your life. He said in verse 25, if you take a reward to slay an innocent person, then the curse of God is going to be on your life. I may say tonight that our fair country, if this is the word of God, if this is the Bible sent down from heaven, amen, and I believe it is. Amen. I'm not looking, trying to find, compare translations. I believe I've got the Word of God. Amen. And I believe I can believe what it says and speak with just as much authority as the most educated seminarian in America today. When I read that, that tells me that over yonder, at the end of the Kanoa City Bridge, is a curse on our nation. That tells me that when people get in the business of being rewarded to slay innocent people, that we got the curse of God on our country, on our nation, and on ourselves. Now, I want you to look. Oh, don't take my word for it. I want you to look what that said in verse 25. Cursed be he that smiteth, or verse 24, cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people say amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. An innocent person. Somebody that wasn't guilty. Amen. I wonder where America will stand since the early 70s. I wonder how many innocent people, innocent persons, have been slain in our fair land. I heard here just a while ago that there have been more aborted children in America since Roe versus Wade. We have lost more children than we've lost people in all the wars that America has ever fought. That's the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Civil War, World War I, and World War II, Korea, and the Vietnam conflict. We've lost more Americans through the outfit over there at Kanawha City than we have in every war we fought. And these same peacemongers will get up there and say, I'm not for killing anybody. And yet at the same time, amen, we are stuffing our pockets with money where we killed innocent people. I think that the curse of God will be on a nation like that. I don't believe we can exist and continue to do that. The mark of the downfall of a nation is when they start killing their innocent. That they're headed down. In Exodus chapter 1, before I go over there, we need to pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you tonight for the privilege to pray. And God, you know where I want to go with this message. God, I pray that you'd help me to speak it with the authority and the power of God. Lord, I don't want to get on a tangent and harp off on something. But God, I want to speak with the authority of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, that we'd be able to apply it not only to the other folks, but, God, we'd apply it to our life. And, Lord, what we do wrong, God, we'd repent of. And our Father, that we'd have our life right with God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Exodus chapter 1, Pharaoh's plan was to kill the innocent. He said, if you'll turn over there, you can look at it. He said that the children of Israel are just prospering too well. They're getting along too good. And what we've got to do, if one of our enemies would happen to come up, they could join forces with our enemies and they could destroy us. So what we'll have to do, we'll have to make their lives bitter with a hard bondage. And look, if you will, In Exodus chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. The more they afflicted them, the more they grew. And so it was that the king of Egypt, in verse 15, spake to the Hebrew midwives, and it tells their name, Shipra and Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. You see that? He hadn't done anything. How little Randy. 11 pounds, 22 inches long, 3 months old, 2 months old, would already died if he'd have been born in Egypt at that time. Not that he did anything, but Pharaoh had decided that the way to control the population was to kill the innocent. The way to control the population was to get somebody that couldn't get you back. And then what he forgot in his dealings was the same thing that everybody forgets. And that is that when we take a reward to kill or slay innocent people, then we have the curse of God on us and our nation and our house and our church and any other organization will not be able to survive with the curse of God on us. Thank God for Shipra and Puah that didn't obey the laws of the land. The law of the land was that when that baby is born, you kill it. But they said, we're not going to obey the laws of the land. Well, we got so many wishy-washy, chicken-string, backbone Christians today that if the government would tell us we couldn't have church, we'd call it off. I tell you, we need somebody to stand up and say, I'll obey God rather than man. Thank God for Shipra and Puah that they said, I don't know how we're going to get around it, but I'm not killing no innocent person because I know the wrath of God is going to fall on us. Over in Jeremiah chapter 2, if you'd like to go over there, you can read it later. It said people there who, in chapter 2, verse 34, said people there who slay innocent people swear that they're innocent themselves. In other words, They're just like these doctors that get on television and say, I'm just trying to earn a living. I'm innocent of any wrongdoing. But you mark it down, honey. I don't care if you're a doctor or you're a lawyer or you're the mommy or you're the daddy. If you're in agreement to killing an innocent person, then your wrath of God will abide on you.
That's right.
Dads and children, now I'm going to go on just a little bit further. This old book said, if we would train up a child in the way it should go, that when it got old, it did not depart from us. And yet, we've got people that they never take their children to church. They never sit down with their children and tell them about Jesus Christ. They never preach the Bible to them. And they grow up and say, I can't do nothing with them. But you're not innocent. Brother, you swayed your innocent child by not allowing them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Bethlehem, Herod slaughtered the innocent. Since the early 1970s, we've been through our abortion mills just heaping up wrath upon wrath against the day of wrath. Brother, it's a coming. You might be fooled by old garbage mouth or whatever that Russian man's name is that comes over here and says, I'm in the favor of America. All he's in favor of is getting his hands on what America can produce. No communist is a friend of any American person. No atheist, nobody that supports him is a friend of mine, thank God. I say we ought to stand up against it. I say we ought to cry out for the murder of innocent people. There was a mother that went to a doctor's office and she had a little baby, 9 months old. She walked in the doctor's office. This is a true story. She walked in the doctor's office and she said, Doctor, I'm expecting again. And she said, I've got this one and it's 9 months old. And if I have another, I'm not going to be able to provide for it. You sorry hand. You sorry dog. Are you trying to tell me that the children that are the heritage of the Lord, that God will give them to us and then not provide for them? You call yourself a Christian around where I am. I might doubt your testimony. Sorry dog said, Doctor, I'll not be able to provide for my little one. So what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to perform an abortion. Would you be willing to do it? The doctor said, Mom, do you realize the danger that you are put in if you have an abortion? Has anybody told you that, ma'am, of the danger that you'll face yourself, even in the most sterile of surroundings of you? Do you realize that? He said, I've got another suggestion. And she said, what's that? And he said, why don't we just kill the 9-month-old? And then you wouldn't be in any danger. Don't you look at me. And it ain't no difference in killing a 9-month-old and killing one that's still inside the womb. As far as I'm concerned, both acts are murder. And yet people will draw up against killing a 9-month-old and turn their head for killing of our unborn. Turn your head, the doctor said. Hold that baby out on your lap and turn your head and I'll take this knife and cut his throat. The woman jumped up and said, murderer. The doctor said, I'm a Christian. You're the murderer.
Amen.
Don't come in. Don't come in my office crying hard up. I can't raise my child. An adulterous, self-centered sinner. Amen. Gets into trouble. Solution. Kill a baby. You say, well, it's embarrassing. Amen. It ought to be embarrassing. Amen. You've been out whoring around. It ought to be embarrassing to you. Hey, it's time that our preacher stood up and said that sin ought to embarrass you. Solution is kill a baby. Well, I can't give it what I'd like. Solution, kill it. Don't you believe it? The Hippocratic Oath, Hippocrates, or whoever that dude was, the father of medicine, said, I swear I'll never give any type of a deadly drug nor offer any counsel that would teach people to kill one another. Man, our doctors have got up, and the oath they take today is, I swear that I'll make every buck I can any way I can. 15-20 years later, I've heard them testify that they still hear the screams of their unborn baby. You say you can't hear it. I don't know. I've never aborted one. I'm just talking about people who have. I'm talking about people who Planned Parenthood wants to put on the back burner. One lady said, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I sing in the choir. I'm a Christian and I know that my sins are forgiven, but I still hear the scream of that baby. A woman one time gave birth to an unwanted child, and it was an hour old, and she killed it and hid it in the hedges. And she said that she went on with her life. Nobody ever found out that it was her baby that was there in the hedges. She said she had more children. She married a good man. She got in a good Christian home and a good church, and she had five more children. But she said at night, sometimes when I'm all alone, she said, even though I've got five more, I still hear that one that I killed and hid yonder in the hedges. Be not deceived, folks. God is not mocked. Don't you kid yourself. This book said, cursed is he that taketh a reward to slay an innocent person. And I say to you moms and dads, the little babies that you have on your lap, I say that you'll not be guiltless if those children go astray. You'll not do it. You say, well, I couldn't help it. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. You sorry dog. You get out there, you run down the pastor, you run down the church, and then when your kids get up and go to the dope crowd, you wonder why. You say, I tried to raise them right. You didn't do it. You're a liar and a father of it. Thank you. You'll get up there and you'll say, well, if I could just fool around with some man's wife, it wouldn't hurt my kids. It will hurt your kids.
That's right.
It will hurt your kids. They're not blind. You try to hide if you want to, but brother, it's just like trying to keep a balloon underwater filled with air. You turn it loose, it's coming out.
That's right.
You can't hide it. When you know, people, I just say, you're upset. Amen. Amen. I'm upset. Righteous indignation, if you please. People, you know the problem with people? Problem with people is they're sinners. Amen. That's my problem. That's my problem. I'm saved, thank God. And I know it, and I don't have to go back and ask nobody. But the problem with me is when I take my eyes off of Jesus, I start sinking. And that's your problem. And that's everybody else in the world's problem. But listen, friend, children are the heritage of the Lord. And if you've got one, you ought to take just as good a care of it as you can. You ought to train it just the way it ought to go. And they'll rise up when you get old, and they'll call you blessed. They was folks that would love to have one. Sarah was 90 years old. She said, God, I wish you'd give me a boy. You give these other people children, I'd like for you to give me one. 90 years old. Amen.
God gave her one. You say, well, that was... No, God gave her that one, honey. She was done past the age of childbearing. She was old, and she couldn't have had a child, but God gave her one in answer to prayer. Then I think about Isaac prayed for Rebecca, and God gave a child because of it. Then I think about Leah. She was the wife of Jacob, and yet she was despised. And when she saw she was despised, she turned to God and said, God, he don't love me like he loves Rachel. But God, if you'd give me a child, he'd love me. And God heard her prayer, and God gave her a child. And then I think of how Rachel went all those years and said, I've got everything I want, but I do not have a child. And God opened the windows of heaven, opened Rachel's womb, and she had a child. I think about Hannah, who got out there and got down on her knees, and she was praying, and her mouth was moving, but she wasn't saying, I like it. Amen. A lot of people like to make long prayers where everybody can hear.
Right. Amen.
How many of you can remember when you were so burdened that you couldn't say a word?
That's right.
Down on her knees before God, old Hannah was praying, and the preacher come right. And now I'm not trying to run down the preacher, but he thought, oh my, another drunk woman in the church. And so he went up to her and he said, how long are you going to be drunk? And she said, I'm not drunk, I'm praying. Amen. He said, I didn't hear you. Now this is in the original. She said, I wasn't talking to you. Amen, folks. Enter into your closet when you want to pray. Pray in secret. And the God that hears in secret will reward you in the open. I think about Elizabeth as she prayed, and God gave her John the Baptist. Amen. How'd you like to be called Kenny the Baptist? Wouldn't that be great? God gave her John the Baptist. Well, I don't want to get on that. I'll camp there for a week. God knew every one of those children before they were born. Every one of them. He knew David. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. She didn't conceive a Bob. She conceived David. Jeremiah, God knew him in the womb. Isaiah, God knew him in the womb. John the Baptist done a little Holy Ghost dance in the womb, bless God. When Mary came in there, I'm saying, now there's something that I'll just throw this out so you guys can go home scratch your head. Look, if you will, in the book of Exodus, chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. I don't know whether I'll even read this to you or not. This ought to be for mature Christians. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22. Exodus 21, 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, you got that? So that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief followeth, he shall be surely punished. According to the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. Now, a lot of times, overzealous people will commence to saying something that God didn't say. Now, God said, if you killed, it's going to get tight. God said, if you killed your brother or your sister, that was murder and you had to die. But if I believe my Bible, this says if you kill an unborn baby, then you got to pay through the nose. Now, I think it would be a good deal if America would grant all of those mothers that were tricked and deceived into having abortion, if they'd sue all them fat cat doctors and take every penny they got and put them down on the street corner somewhere with a tin cup begging for food, I think I'd do that crowd good. I think I ought to have to pay through the nose, honey. Amen. Well, I'll get off of that. Insincere excuses. They'll get on Donahue or Jerry Aldo or whoever that dude is. Okay, yeah, they'll get on that dude and they'll say, well, what if the life of the mother is endangered? Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you people in here are mothers? Amen. Okay, now I'm not going to ask you how many of you have had abortions. I don't want to embarrass nobody. But which is the safest? To give birth to a baby or somebody to go up in your body with a knife walking around? I mean, people give birth to babies all the time. They give birth to babies at home, or they used to before we got like Egyptians and wasn't quite strong enough to handle it. But I mean, people, babies are born all the time without any harm to the mother. And listen, it is more harmful to have an abortion than it is to give birth. Silly excuses. Childbirth is not dangerous. Abortion's dangerous. There was a New Jersey doctor that worked for 15 years and saw 115,000 babies born, and not one case was abortion necessary. Well, then somebody said, well, what if it causes mental suffering? Just like I said a while ago, if you've been out there whoring around, you ought to go through some mental suffering. Amen. I believe we ought to teach our young girls to be pure. I believe we ought to teach them, if some dude come up and put his hand on you, take your cowboy boot off and whack that dude out in the head. Amen. I think you ought to have a pot or a pan or something and have a purse big enough to carry it. That dude go reaching over. Watch out now. That dude go reaching over and touching you, I think you ought to crown at you. I think we ought to teach our young people to live right and be pure. Spit in that dude's face. That's what I think you ought to do. Oh, well we gotta get some relief. I done sinned and it's causing me mental anguish. Yeah, I robbed a grocery store. So the way to solve that is to kill the clerk. I mean, that's the way America is thinking today. I've already committed one sin, so the way to relieve my mental anguish is to commit two. Don't you believe it? Well, you say, now, if a mommy has German measles, then there's a chance of 1 in 10 that the baby will be born defective. Dude, what are you going to do? Kill all 10 of them, because one of them might be defective. Hey, I'll say this with all honesty. Why don't you wait till they're born and then just kill the defective one? I see no difference.
That's right. Amen.
And by the way, here you got a little baby born deaf. Does that merit death?
That's right.
Don't you listen. Amen. Don't you listen to that Donahue bunch.
That's right.
Don't you listen to that godless crowd.
That's right.
They're a bunch of dope addicts, whoremongers, and everything else. And don't you listen to them.
That's right. That's good.
You better listen to old preacher now.
That's right.
You better listen to what God says. Don't you believe a word they've done to say.
That's right.
You'll be better off. You'll be better off to just say, God, I've sinned, and I'm expecting a baby. God, help me to raise that baby for Jesus Christ. Help that my life will be better because of Him.
That's right.
You know, in Nazi Germany, they said, well, we'll kill all the undesired. Of course, you know, the Jews is who Hitler had in mind. But when they go to calling, we'll kill all the undesirables. Who's going to authorize them when to stop? We'll go kill the unborns. Next thing you know, we'll go kill old people. Amen. Yeah, they're useless. To who? Themselves? Well, yeah, they ain't nothing. I can take you to people that believe Baptists are useless. Amen. I had a fellow tell me I was a useless preacher. Yeah, I know people. If you're going to kill all the useless ones, man, the whole crowd's gone. Years ago, before they started this Roe versus Wade stuff, a young lady found herself with child. And I can relate the embarrassment that she had when she went into her mom and her dad and she told them, "I'm not married and I'm expecting a child." And then I can see to compound the matter, she had a boyfriend that she loved. And she stood before that boyfriend that had loved her and taken care of her, went to church with her and tried to be a decent young Christian boy to her. She stood before him and she said, "I'm with child and this baby doesn't belong to you." Sad and dejected, she went to live with her family. But her boyfriend loved her. And he went and got her back. And he said, "I don't know how we're going to explain this. But," he said, "I love you and I'm going to marry you anyway." They left their hometown with her expecting a child. They went on a journey. And they came to a strange city. Nobody had room for that young girl and her husband. One fella said, "There's a stable out back. You might be able to sleep there, but you're not worth much." I mean, here she was, not married, the pressure. You're not worth much. And I can see, as the night wore on and the labor pains come on, and I can see that she gave birth to the most unwanted baby that ever was. This baby was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He had no place to lay his head. His mom wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. Aren't you glad that when she found herself in that embarrassing situation, aren't you glad she didn't truck over to Canola City?
That's right.
Amen. Because you see, that night, I don't know whether it was December the 25th or 11th or October. I don't know when it was. But I know this. That night, a child was born in Bethlehem that 1,900 years later still had power to reach down to an altar and save my soul and give me life and give me life eternal. I say, cursed is the man that takes a reward to slay an innocent person. Would you bow your heads? Mary did not abort the Lord Jesus, even if Planned Parenthood would have wanted her to. She went right ahead and gave birth to him who died on a cross, alone, forsaken of God and man.
not for innocent, but for the guilty. And he said, I died that you might live. Tonight, if you reject him, you're just the same as taking that hammer and driving the nails in the hands of the innocent Son of God.